Now entering Nerdist.com.
This episode is brought to us by Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. It is a consumer service that allows users to choose, hey, you know what? It feels weird reading this. First, I just want to tell you that I just downloaded, because I do actually really like Audible, and I just downloaded Sexual Intelligence by Marty Klein. It's a book that I've been wanting to read Marty Klein's stuff for a while. Dr. Marty Klein, he was on the show. We did a sex and politics episode. Fascinating. Fascinating. He's been a practicing therapist for, I think, over 25 or 30 years. Anyway, this book is about how our ideas about sex actually affect our sex lives more than being really good at sex or knowing techniques or having a great body or whatever. It is time for me to listen to this book. I just listened to another book called Transitions. It's basically, I am utilizing the Audible. So let me continue with this. I want you to know that I actually really love using Audible. So it's a consumer service. You get to choose audio versions of your favorite book. And there's a library of over 150,000 titles. Like, there's a lot to choose from. Users can purchase individual books or, for real savings, can sign up for an Audible listener program. I think that's what I did, which gives them book credits each month for a low monthly fee. Customers download their choices and can access them on their PC, burn them onto CDs, or upload to their iPods and other devices. Yeah, it's on my phone. It's awesome. Easy. Quick and easy and affordable. Oh, I said what they were just about to say. It's entertainment for people of all ages. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. With over 150,000 titles in virtually every genre, you'll find what you're looking for. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A. Again, audiblepodcast.com/Sandra. You need to put in my name and you need to go to the Audible podcast in order to get the free book and 30-day trial. And please do. You're helping support the show and checking out some cool technology that may really bring more awesomeness to your ear places.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Hello, fellow sex nerd. It is Sandra Doherty, and I'm here to tell you things. Today's interview is actually really exciting. It's I get to know Keith and the girl. I made new friends. So it's a sex spotlight episode. We traverse many topics, including plastic surgery, of all things, trans identity, trans relationships, how to pop the question, things like that. It's fascinating. I had a good time. But first, I want to tell you a few dates. Tonight, I'm in New York City. So I'm teaching at the Pleasure Chest, the new Pleasure Chest on 2nd Avenue. That is Blowjobs 201. I'm doing a customizing your BJ class. And tomorrow, Boning 101 at Madam X with New York Comic Con. They have a super week. All week there's cool things happening in New York. Woo woo. Thing is, it's sold out. Sorry, naughty monkeys. However, after it lets out around 9:15, I'm going to be at the bar some more. So we're going to meet up. So if you want to stop by, there's no cover. If you just want to come by, I'll be there probably around till 10:30. Madam X tomorrow night, October 10th. Hope to see you there. Shout out to Katie and Darren from the New York Sex Nerd Group, organizing Naughty Monkeys. You guys are great. I appreciate what you do. If you want to organize a sex nerds meetup locally in your town, check out Katie and Darren in New York and see how they're creating it. It's really cool. Okay, before we get to the interview, I'm really jet lagged and just disoriented right now. I've already had caffeine and it is not helping. Maybe it's just this really bizarre hotel room I'm in. I don't even know what to say about this very strange hotel room I'm in. I feel like I'm in Tokyo right now. Like, it's weirdly shaped and it's got weird lighting and the bed is hard, really hard. I don't know if they've hard beds in Tokyo. Oh yeah, they kind of did. And there's weird lighting in places and weird color. It's weird. It's just weird, weird. That's not what I wanted to tell you. Okay, let me get to the point. I did a video on my Sex Nerd Sandra YouTube channel this week, and it was on how to get hot sex. And I actually asked others, how do we do that? because there's this thing. I talk about techniques a lot. It's always about how to hold a person, how to finger the person, how to do all this physical stuff to them. However, there's this whole other psychological component that I just can't even figure out. I can't figure it out. And it only dawned on me this week that my whole sex life, I've had a hard time telling somebody what I want. You can check out the video. It's pretty quick. The thing is I don't know if I was this clear about it, but it really is about, it's almost like a romance novel type feeling where it's part of foreplay. And I need to bring foreplay back since I haven't talked about it in such a long time, but it's psychological. It's the flirt. It's building the heat intellectually, or non-verbally. I haven't paid enough attention to seduction. I've kind of avoided it because it's a part of my life and I'm not comfortable with it. You know, it's like hard asking someone out. It's uncomfortable. It's hard to seduce, gradually. Anyway, I figured out something that really helped me. I realized that I've talked about games before, how we play different types of games in our relationships. And I have a strong game drive. I don't know about you. Love the games. Not the games where I care to win. It's games I love to play. It's like a puppy with a little toy and they just love shaking it around. It's just fun to interact with something else. And so when I interact with people, like a lover, I play games and I didn't realize it. And so like a game like, ooh, you're so hot because of this. Like, oh, I love your shoulders, right? Like, ooh, that's me starting a game. Ideally, I'm not looking for compliments, but if they say something that they're hot, that's hot about me, that makes them hot, then I say, well, I really like this. And I like that game because then we just start talking about things that turn us on about the other person, which also makes us turned on. That is one of dozens of games that I realized that I play that I didn't know it was a game. I thought it was just like be psychic and know what I want. No, there are rules to these games. I just didn't think about it. So that may make only mild sense. I'm still developing this idea in my brains, but I wanted to tell you because people were asking what I figured out afterward because I did figure out stuff. Also, something really dramatic is happening across the country, and I wanted to make sure that you knew about it. And it's the fact that every time a university has their sex week come around, there is often drama locally about that sex week. Sex week, as I understand it, is a week or a month where a university puts aside funds in order to bring speakers, encourage discussion around people's sex lives, STD status things, testing, gender issues, orientation, creating a space where people can actually really feel safe to talk about these things and learn more about it. So the University of New Mexico withdrew their blessings for that university's sex week, and I signed a petition. I was number 887. You can check out what I wrote if you go to the link I posted on my Sex Nerd Sandra page on Facebook. Then it was brought to my attention that the University of Eastern Tennessee State University has voted against giving funds to their sex week. Tennessee, I've heard so many things about you guys hating on sex week. The drama is that these are student funds. This is not tax dollars. This is the students giving money at the beginning of their semester so that they can get lots of cool stuff happening for them throughout the year. Wow. Turns out that the local government was like, you guys really shouldn't be doing that with that money. And so the student government voted against it really because there's a bit of blackmailing going on with the government. They're like, if you do this, you may get a total repercussions down the road. I don't like that kind of blackmail. I mean, I don't like any kind of blackmail generally, unless it's kinky and it's consensual and role-playing. But I digress. So at this point, I just wanted to create awareness about this. It's not so much that I know what to do. I mean, come sign the petition for the University of New Mexico one. But I just want you to know that, I mean, maybe it's a freedom of speech issue, but we need to be able to learn about our own sexuality. That's what this podcast is for. I mean, how many of you are too shy to talk about sex to your friends or know that your friends are going to freak out? I mean, sometimes the only thing we can do is read things online or listen to a podcast because that's all that's available to us. We need access to sex positive, healthy information. That's what I'm saying. So with that, I hope you enjoy this week's episode. It's actually quite entertaining. I had a good time. And these Chemda and Keith are wonderfully insightful and thoughtful individuals, and they crack me up. So enjoy.
I always go blank. I still get nervous when I record, like just a little bit, and then I can't remember anything.
The start of a show is always a little tricky, because once you get in the groove of things, then you're chatting. But it's kind of like saying hello to someone, and you lean in. Am I kissing you on the cheek? Am I hugging you? And then you get this awkward thing. I think starts are always the most difficult.
It really is. Yeah. I don't have the showmanship of other showman people.
Just go, hi, go.
Hi.
And then go.
We're talking now. I'm talking. Here, do you hear me talking? This is podcast time, podcast. Hey, sex nerds. I'm here with Keith and the girl, Chemda. Heath?
Just in case you're nervous how to say it. Heath.
Oh, this is the worst. I like your names. Okay, so you two are on this show, which is actually really exciting because around 2007, 2008, I was dating a podcaster. I didn't know what podcasts were. And he was like, you have to listen to Keith and the Girl. It's like, I can barely listen to your podcast. Like, I'm not listening to podcasts. I hate you.
I like this guy. I think, and I see where you went wrong in the relationship.
Oh, God, that relationship. But it's really neat because you really are podcast adventurers, but you're pioneers of the frontier. Because really, it's a baby. Podcast kingdom.
We came in its infant stage in 2005. So we've been podcasting for almost 10 years now, which does make us one of the first. Mm-hmm. But it also, the trailblazing aspect of it means that we figured out a lot of things before there were books about it and before mm-hmm. there was equipment based, you know, specifically for podcasting. So we had to figure out a lot of stuff.
Are there books about it now? We should probably be reading those.
Okay. We wrote one.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
UltimatePodcastingGuide.com.
What do you say? I mean, I want to get into sex and love and, you know.
Yes.
You know,
we wrote the book on that stuff.
That's right. I know. I was reading some of it today in the Amazon.com look inside section.
Isn't that cool?
The sneak peek.
But it's also the first chapter is on sex.
Yep.
Or he said kink. And so I was like, sweet, I get to read about my topic. Woo woo. So I definitely have questions about that. But what have you, okay, I have to, because I mean, I realize this is a little meta, you guys, but what have you seen? Like, it feels like if you were seeing the podcast world develop in 2005, and we're in 2014 now, it is like seeing your baby or kind of turn into a teenager, like, or do you feel like it's full adulthood now, or do you feel like there's still a lot of change?
In fact, like, we dated when we first started, and we know that the podcast kept us together for a lot longer, like staying together for the baby. Mm-hmm. But we didn't recognize it. But what happened was, is we do it 5 days a week, at least 1 hour every day.
Wait, because you were exes. Wait, I mean, you are still exes, but yeah. Did you start out as exes?
No, for the first 4 or 5 years of our podcasting careers, we were together. I think four years.
So literally stayed together for the baby a little bit.
Well, we stayed together because of the baby, but not, we didn't stay together just to keep the podcast going. What we didn't realize is the podcast actually kept us really liking each other.
Oh.
And when the...
Well, it's probably not very healthy, but yeah, we would have, you know, you're at that place where we both seem a little disinterested or, you know, for mm-hmm. whatever reason, we're separating. But then we're not talking, and that's a big thing. I know that was on me, where, you know, I what's the point of dealing with this? You know, let's just walk away and not have an argument. Then we would do the show, so for an hour we have to talk. Mm-hmm. And then you start, oh, I do like this person, and then the hour's over.
The thing is when you podcast and you're putting this out to other people, you have to come from a very specific place. You have to keep talking, you have to entertain each other, and you have to come from, if we hated each other on mm-hmm. air, or if we were frustrated with each other on air, someone's always picking up on it, twittering mm-hmm. about it, whether we're, you know, whether it's on the front of what we're doing or not, mm-hmm. you're going to pick up on it. So we came from a really good place with the podcast, and then the on-air sign would turn off, and we would basically turn off from each other. And we're not recognizing it, because for an hour we're making each other laugh and having a great time and entertaining, and we're entertaining each other, and we really love doing the show with each other. And so it confuses you.
It confuses, wait, you as in the listener?
Or it confuses us.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. You as the podcaster.
Yeah.
It is a strange thing to be on and so off after, just like, don't talk to me. I don't like anybody.
I think, you know, but that's what happens at the end of a relationship. I don't think I've ever broken up with anybody at the time that I was supposed to break up with them. I think it was always, and relative to how long the relationship is, that's how much longer I stayed with them. Mm-hmm. So, if you're dating someone, or if I'm dating for someone for 3 years, maybe for 6 months, I probably should have broken up with them. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to drop someone at a first sign. You think that you can push through. And the longer you've been with each other, the more you think you can push through. And sometimes it's true.
You know how many people right now are in a relationship? Yeah. They're thinking, like, they're hearing this and thinking, like, oh, God, I need to leave. Yeah.
There are relationships that, yeah, you do have to give it another chance or try a different way. And then there's the ones where deep down, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing out there, Jill?
What are you doing?
I think that the biggest thing is to recognize is how you fight. So if you fight well, it means that you can push through. But if you guys are in a different place with fighting and where you think a relationship is, I think that's when it shows. When you're having frustrations and your arguments are coming from different places and you don't agree in your argument, then it's not going to happen.
So you two are exes. You stay together for the baby, and it also helps you like each other. And now, Khemda, you are engaged.
What?
Keith, are you engaged? Are you married? Oh, I see a ring on your finger. What does it mean?
It means I am married. Mm-hmm. And I can't fuck other people. That's what it means. Yeah.
How long after the breakup did you two both start dating other people?
It really wasn't that long. I mm-hmm. think it was because for at least a year, we were not really together. And so when you see, I think sometimes people just start dating right away because it's not as a stab in the back or as a, you know, wild thing. It's just, we've been over, we admitted it late. So actually for a year, it's almost like we've been single.
Wait, so, you admitted what?
We admitted that we should break up a year late. So I feel like we were broken up for a year and a half. Right. Wouldn't you say at least?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So we started dating people pretty much right away.
All right. So you both were kind of over it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was mutual. That helps a lot, yeah. I imagine.
Oh, it's wonderful. I can't imagine, because we lived with each other for a really long time after and continued to work with each other. So it helps that it's mutual.
So I would, let's say, you know, get off the air mattress downstairs. She'd get out of the bed.
Don't even. You know, you had the bed a lot of the time.
She had the air mattress sometimes or the couch. That is true. But my point is we would, yeah, and then we meet up for work in the same house.
I think for a while we were sleeping in the same bed just mm-hmm. because it's our bed.
Yeah.
You know,
it's comfortable. It's familiar.
It was a king size bed. So it didn't really, until we were like, well, we should really act like we're broke. We do act like we're broken up, but if we're going to date other people, that's going to start being weird.
Well, it's funny telling people, like, hey, you know, whenever you break up, you don't want to tell other people right away.
Yeah.
At least I don't, because then you end up, you're not only, as you're dealing with your own mess, you find yourself, you're dealing with their mess. You have to make sure they're okay.
Because they're reacting and having feelings about what's happening.
Oh my God, but you were such a good couple. Oh my God, are you okay? I can't do. And they really,
they project onto you what pain they imagine you're feeling, which is what you're actually going through and all that. Oh, I know what that's like.
And so then, you know, after you tell them, of course, they knew the whole time after you tell them.
They knew the whole time that they're like, oh, I could smell that a mile away.
Yeah,
like that.
Why didn't you say something? Yeah, you know, why didn't you tell me you knew? And then I can quit being a fucking weirdo.
Wasn't it Louis C.K.? It was Louis C.K. who said, if somebody is telling you they're getting divorced, don't awe them. Don't be like, oh, that's so sad. It is the best. It's the best, because by the time you come to the conclusion that you're getting a divorce, you're moving forward. That's a mm-hmm. really great step. So, you know, to tilt your head and be like, oh my God, your world is ending, is just not helpful, because their world is drastically changing mm-hmm. and you're next leveling the emotion of it negatively.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's really smart. When people tell me they're getting a divorce, and because people will kind of come to me in a time of change, you know, when they need processing mm-hmm. or whatever.
Before or after they get the haircut?
Before. Okay. I haven't seen many drastic haircuts. Okay. It's really cute. I'm more of a hair colorer when things go wrong. But I'll say, like, congratulations on your, I'm sorry.
You know, that's perfect.
Yeah, and then they get to choose one, like, what? Ah. And here's a platter of feelings. Choose one. I'll do that. Okay, so about after you broke up, you started dating pretty quick. And did Keith? Did you find your wife pretty fast?
So we did a Keith and the Girls show in London, and we met there, and then a bunch of time went by, and then we started chatting with each other. Then she went to New York, and we went out on a date, and then it was since then.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. They were in London. How did London treat you?
Oh, my God.
Very nice.
So fun.
I've never podcasted in London. I kind of want to go.
So great. Yeah. And
I mean, also, who knows if it's, you know, people that like our show or London, but everybody is very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think also, you know, you go overseas and then maybe because the opportunity is also smaller. Like, we're not going to be in London that often. So I feel like people are a little more jazzed about it.
Right. Yeah. Have you ever been to Australia?
No, I want to go.
I keep
so
hearing
bad.
Australia gets real. People in Australia just get really excited that you traveled all that way. They're just like, "Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
we will come to all your shows." And I'm like, "Oh, that'll be fun." Because I don't know about you, but I book all my own like live shows and stuff. So and I'm just learning. It's kind of like, it's like a like.
I do have to say, you were the first Australian that I can understand. I knew all the words you were saying. I don't know how they're speaking English, but okay.
Oh, those weirdos. No, they're wonderful. Actually, I get a lot of sweet letters from Australia. They're really great. UK too. I swear. So, and then you were also engaged.
Yes.
So tell me about that. Was that soon after? Like, was there a little bit of like, did Keith sort of get engaged before you? Because you're already married, Keith. And like,
I think Keith got married before I got engaged, right?
Okay, yeah. So maybe. It's a whole other time period.
Yeah.
Were you like, no, I need to catch up?
No, I...
Probably subconsciously, right? That's so sick.
I actually specifically told Lauren that I wanna be with someone for 5 years because I want to be with them the longest that I've ever been and then get engaged. And also... If we're not going to get engaged, it's fine too. I just think because we're a same-sex couple that it's a little more important because people don't give us the rights naturally. Like if I were to walk into a restaurant with Keith, automatically they give us this respect of we're together. But when I do it with Lauren, it's, hey ladies. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just, so same thing. If one of us is in the hospital and he's actually had that, issue, Lauren, where I think he was in the hospital and the person that he was dating, just couldn't come over. Like if that person was their boyfriend or something, then they could come into the room. You didn't even have to be married. So we just
So it's not even as official as they say on the news or wherever, like, oh, married couples get this respect. Like, even if you're just heterosexual boyfriend or girlfriend, they're like, ah, it's cool. But like if you're a same sex,
I could just pretend that he's my boyfriend now and he could visit me in the hospital, but I can't say Lauren's my boyfriend and he visits me in the hospital.
But yeah, I've visited people in the hospital. They never ask for paperwork, you know, what I mean? Your family or your, you know, sexually related.
Yeah. And I want to be family with Lauren. Like that was, it became that feeling that people talk about where you are my family. So let's get the government involved.
All right. Yeah. Oh, who popped the question?
Lauren did. It was amazing.
Now, here's a question popping, because since you've both experienced question popping happening, that's a weird way to say it. Did both of you experience like having a conversation of kind of it already being a yes in the ether, or was it a surprise? Keith, were you like, I'm just going to go on a limb here? Who knows?
I knew that she wanted to be with me forever. I knew that we both were into marriage as opposed to being against it for, you know, and I understand people being against it for a number of reasons. But with that said, I knew that she would, I knew deep down she would say yes. When I did it, I was still very, very nervous. I'm shaking when I'm asking. In my voice, physically, and, that so I must not have known.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I was nervous she would say no, even though I should have known she would say yes.
I thought it was just 100%. You already have the conversation, like, boom. And then it's the formality. So, no, you just really went there. Like, I just knew that you really wanted to spend forever for me. What an intense phrase. I don't know if I've ever wanted to spend forever with anyone.
I knew, you know, and she was from Ireland. She needed her green card also. So, you know, since we want to do it anyway. So let's get married and speed everything up. But you know, even with all that going for me, at the witching hour, I was nervous.
Even with her needing him to stay in the country,
right.
He was still nervous.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think that's nice because it's not just nerves. It's also a very emotional question, even though it's very logical question too, because you're really just signing paperwork. I think it's really funny that people are willing to sign paperwork to get married, but not paperwork for a prenuptial. Because I feel like those are the same. And if you're going to draw up a contract, it's interesting that we just signed this generic thing that just says my relationship is the same as yours and we require the same thing. But a prenuptial is saying, like, we're doing this and here's, you know, extra stuff that maybe applies to us in particular.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's just paperwork. It's starting a business together.
Exactly. I think of marriage as starting a business together. Like, really, and like kids and anything, we're like co-owning a dog, any of that stuff. It's like, okay, we're partners in this. Like, you know, but it's to plan for the not the exit strategy, but, you know, just in case other things happen or whatever those things might be, it kind of puts those things to rest. Like, you can just forget about them after. Like, okay, so we already talked about all of that stuff. It's not like we're being unrealistic here. Right. So now let's go and have a good time. You know, it's like...
It's also putting you... It's starting you on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good. So, were you
surprised?
I do
want to be clear to let the ladies out there melt. I did go on one knee. Apparently, that's a big thing. And, of course I did.
tell her about the ring.
I didn't have one. I didn't.
What?
I didn't know. I was already on one knee. Somebody already forgot that part, Sandra.
Had you planned?
I didn't know. I didn't plan it. I was like, it was Valentine's Day, and I'm like, all right, let's do it today. And we made food at home, and I remember she was in the shower, and then I put the food out. Then I ran downstairs to the bodega and I grabbed flowers, the nice ones, the like $12 nice ones. you know, put those on the table, and then we started eating or about to eat, and I started telling her how much I love her, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm sharing the sweet. I'd say it, but it'd make you cry. And I'm saying all these nice things and how she makes my life better, yada yada, and. And she's picking at the, you know, you take the lid off a dressing and there's that, you know, protective seat. And she's like struggling with it and picking at it. And I'm like, and, you know, you make my life better. And she's like, yeah, you do mine too. And I'm like, just give me the fucking dressing. Listen.
He's like, you're a comic, right?
We do a comedy show and I do stand up once a year. But yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Just because I just imagine, like, just... The type of relationship between like, somebody who's comedically oriented and their partner, like the kind of casual, like, you're meaningful to me.
Right.
Yeah, no, there's something, I don't know. For some reason, that seems familiar to me. Like, just, it's real cash, but I'm just projecting onto you.
And then I got on the knee so that she could focus.
Did she turn into like a little groundhog? Like,
then she gets what's happening. And I did have a ring. I didn't plan it, but I did have, she loves gummy worms. And, you know, whenever we go into a movie theater, she gets gummy worms, that kind of thing. And so I put a gummy worm on her finger, like it was the ring.
And forever and ever, you two will.
It's getting moldy now, but it's been over a year married, so it's getting a little stale.
And how about you? Were you surprised when Lauren popped the question?
Oh, my goodness. It was a whole weekend that was planned without my knowledge. Oh. And it was absolutely incredible. We have these date days where one of us is like, okay, take this date. I'm going to take you out. And we know that. You know, don't plan anything that day. That's going to be our thing. And we know that it's special. So it was Lauren's date day. So,
but like, you don't know anything that they're planning and they don't know anything that you're planning. Like, it
depends. Like, okay. If you have to sort of give them a heads up, like, hey, bring extra sneakers or, you know, dress a little bit nicer or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we were going to Tompkins Square Park and we ran into this sand art. There's this guy in New York. And if you go to New York parks, you'll see he makes these giant sand art pieces of flowers and intricate little swirly things. And it's just beautiful and takes up a lot of space. And people are very respectful of it. They walk around it and he just does it. And we caught him starting. And it was just starting. I'm like, oh my God, this is one of my favorite New York artists. You know, this is amazing. So Lauren's like, okay, after brunch, because we were going to brunch, let's come back and see what, you know, that we'll see the time lapse, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, this is already the best day ever. It turns out Lauren had planted that And that is how he asked me to marry him. When we came back, I was like, wait, that looks like my name. It was this giant thing that said, will you marry me, Chemda? And
stop it. I yeah. can't. I but can't
the,
even.
But the thing art is, said, the art in sand said, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your name.
The thing is it, he works on it. He worked on it for a couple hours. So now there's, by the time we got back, there's people waiting for us because they know that there's about to be
engagement.
Yeah.
Proposal.
And a proposal, yeah. And so we got the response of like a bunch of people as well. And we have it on video and it's really sweet. And then there was a whole weekend planned with, we stayed in a hotel room just to kind of
so
make it romantic.
So the question popping was near the beginning of the weekend.
Yes.
And then it was sort of the, let's roll around in the happy,
yes.
all that.
And oh, it really cool. was, it really was a very romantic and truly wonderful. And the whole weekend, I felt like, and I don't usually like feeling that way, but I felt very princessy.
Oh,
and it took me a while to be able to accept feeling that way where mm-hmm. someone is putting themselves out and I don't feel like they're putting themselves out. And so I it was very amazing to me that I could feel that way with all that sweet stuff coming my way.
Yeah, it's hard to receive.
Yeah, like, sometimes, yeah.
For other people to be putting energy into stuff.
Yeah, because like, what did this cost you? It's not like we make a ton of money, mm-hmm. you know, and how much time are you taking off of work so we could do this thing? And then I was just like, you know what? I know Lauren has been waiting for me to feel this way and via what he provides for me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm going to, that's the reciprocation that is okay here. And so I gave myself permission. This sounds so weird, but I really had to be like, no, this is the feeling that, you know, Lauren does want me to be like, yay, yeah. I'm a princess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to have to fill that role sometimes when people want you to be in that role.
But, I hear
you. But you gotta.
I hear
you. Right? You're such a princess. Look at you.
Oh, I'm just a man.
Just a man. You can be a princess too, don't you? No?
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so clarification time, because I have a feeling that, you know, at least one person's like, wait, I'm confused. So your partner, Lauren, identifies trans.
Yeah, trans male.
And trans male, mm-hmm. right. And I'm actually really excited because I read both of your bios on your website. Was it keithandthegirl.com?
Yes.
Right? And then I looked up Lauren Hennessy.
Yes.
Right?
.com.
And... Because I'll go to like a sex ed activism conference and I'll ask people, is there, because we'll talk about pronouns all the time mm-hmm. and be like, he or she or they or they or yo, which is a new one that I.
Oh, really?
I heard about actually because Lauren wrote something on HuffPost that I looked at.
Oh, right. Yes. I do remember that. Yeah.
I've been using yo since I was a kid. Yo.
Yeah, but like, so I will ask, like, okay, so you have somebody who
you're so excited.
Is very exciting. It's very exciting. It was born into, let's say, a male body, and then realizes that they're a woman in a male's body, so they want people to pronounce them or start calling them she, right? Yeah. But usually what I have witnessed and what I've heard about is that they're also transitioning visually so that
yes.
they're trying to align themselves with the standard pronoun of identification. And up till to that point, they'll still be a he. So call me she, and suddenly the hair's getting longer and they're wearing more makeup and things like that.
Yeah.
What excites me about, does Lauren identify as an activist in this trans identity?
Actually, we talked about that because we are just, it turns out, by default, activists because Lauren came out on our show as trans and because this is new information for a lot of people, we're sort of put into that position where we are the ones, and Lauren especially, but we are the ones answering the questions. So we got put in the role of being put on the platform mm-hmm. for LGBT community or for, you know, anyone who wants to ask questions. And we do put ourselves out there saying, you can ask us things. But it gets pretty emotional because someone's always looking at you like, but why? But why? But why?
Oh,
but why?
I see. Not like a, thank you so much for being you. I feel freer. It's more like you're just like constantly kind of shot at.
There's actually both. I think that our audience is really incredible about it, and people in general are, you know, more open than obviously they've ever been, but there's always, you know, and then what, but that's great. But sometimes, you know, Lauren just wants to be an actor instead of a transgender actor who's not transitioning, who is on this platform. So, and he's an incredible, incredible actor. So sometimes you're being known for this thing instead of this thing, instead of maybe both, or just, you know, one fades into the background every here and again. So we'll see where it takes us.
People do
definitely
get, they do get upset that Lauren hasn't physically changed or is looking into physically changing. A lot of people seem to think, see, when you're transgender, that's it. You know, your brain isn't matching your genitalia. But I think people think transgender means you look like the guy or woman that you believe you are that we don't see. So you, or that we didn't see before.
Right.
People think you're not transgender, I guess, until you make that final payment to the doctor.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there's the physical changing of your secondary characteristics, like hair, right, and face, and how right you're dressing, and that expression of your gender. And then, of course, even if you've done that, people are still asking inappropriate questions about what's in your pants or
right
what's under your skirt. And yeah, until you pay the doctor to chop something off or add something or move something around, then you're not like fully trans. So then we have to step back in, another step, which is that Lauren is choosing at this time, like they're just like they're going to stay female because it works better for acting.
Yeah, it is. It is. A lot of it is for acting. And also it's for surgery. Like, I don't even want to dye my hair or put on makeup, you know, just things that are very well accepted, you know, that it's not going to be like, whoa, Chemda, what are you doing? So to ask someone to...
And how many facelift jobs do you see that are...
botched.
Terrible. All of a sudden, mm-hmm, we're acting like they know what they're doing with genitalia, never mind the face?
Yeah, so Lauren doesn't want to go under the knife just so people can accept what's happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets it because people associate gender with sex, and that's the difference, mm-hmm, is you can have male sex and female brain, or and mm-hmm, I still struggle with some of the wording of it, but
it's a lot of mental gymnastics a lot of times because, you know, we didn't get taught any of this growing up,
right,
so it's just a whole new world of stuff.
Speaking of facelifts, and I don't know why I do this because, you know, it's always taken insulting, and then I do it anyway. You look like Angelina Jolie before she fucked up her face.
Did she fuck up her face?
I think she looks like an alien now. She looks like the girl from Maleficent. She didn't need makeup in that. That's what she looks like in real life.
I feel like she's just a little underweight. And she's aging. And when we age, we lose muscle on the underlying. So we get bonier as we age.
Yeah, that's cute. That's cute. Yeah, she got way too much work done. It's
but
a shame.
You think it's work done?
Yeah.
Interesting. So thank you. I appreciate that. She is lovely. And I think she's still lovely now, even though she's evolving.
And she can be. She's evolving with doctor's knives. And everybody's different. And who are we to say what pretty is? Right?
Who are we to say?
Me saying you're pretty.
Who are we to say?
And she fucked hers up.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Like noticing that in my face is a platform to just be like, Angelina Jolie, you need to get your shit together. Like, really, that's what we're trying to say here. Thank you. I don't know what to do with that. I used to hate that people told me that. It was actually really uncomfortable. It took me about a decade before it got okay.
Is it like somebody, because you're being compared to somebody, or because like you don't know how to handle a compliment?
Probably several things. Mainly, it felt like I was her hideous younger sister. Like, you have like one of the most beautiful women in the world, and then you're like this weird shadow of her. Like, you know, like Marcia. Meh.
But isn't that funny? Because that's what you hear. Like, we're saying you look like a young Angelina Jolie, and you hear, well, if I put you next to her, you're a slumpy version of it.
Well, it's like, when somebody looks like somebody, it's like, I'm like off brand. Like, it's like, it always felt like I'm off brand. Like, I just want to be me. Okay. Also being, biracial, I guess you'd call it, having so few people to like, I just don't have anybody that looks like me.
What's biracial? You'll sleep with two different races.
Exactly. I'm really into threesomes. I have to be from two different backgrounds because that's the way I roll. It's really sexy that way. It really makes me wet inside. Really gross.
I know, like, I watch TV and not even like doing the comparative thing, but I don't know. Some actress was on TV and I'm like, oh man, she gained some weight. And women in the room got mad at me because what they heard, and all I said was, this specific actress gained weight. It's an award show and I'm judging. That's all I said.
That's not all you said.
Okay.
Ooh.
So Chemda and other women hear that they're fat Because there's no way they think they can be better looking or thinner than this Hollywood actress. So now they're upset as though I called them fat when I was just saying, who was I saying? This one singer
Kelly
was
Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson gained weight. Now I'm calling all women fat somehow instead of just saying about Kelly Clarkson only.
First of all, I think he is right that if he calls someone ugly and you feel like, well,
you're on a lower tier. You feel
those
like
are your own
a
triggers. Those are your own insecurities coming into play and projecting them onto someone else.
Yes, but that's not what he said. He's not. Oh, Kelly gained a little weight. I guess that's okay. Let's move on with our lives. That is not how that went.
Oh snap! How
that
long
is not?
Long
no, no, no. You had
I'll,
your chance.
I'll tell you how. Your
cut
honor,
off his mic.
Your honor, please. I would never tell you what to do. Your honor, first
the
off,
defendant needs to just chill out. The protagonist. I don't know how law works. Needs to say something.
Antagonist, please go.
Here's what he said. He said he was watching some award show and Kelly Clarkson came on, but first they showed her video, and in her video, of course, it's flawless and, you know, it's edited and it's
skinny,
whatever it is. It's thinner, and then she comes out to present something or to accept something.
And it's a whole new animal.
And he goes, first of all, it's a whole new animal is not the nicest thing to say. Second of all, he goes, I was lied to. Look at what she looks like. That's not what she looks like. Ugh. I was tricked. And it's like, all right.
Okay, so you
were
having a squicky, grossed out response and then also said that she gained some weight.
That's why he's having that response.
That's why I'm having that response.
He was, quote, lied to.
It's kind of like, is it Lord? Lordy?
Lord.
Lorde? Lord. So you would see Lord in this video, and they really dolled her up. Then she accepts the award, and she looks like the Crypt Keeper. Now, that's not my fault that's my reaction. It's they tricked me.
They did not trick you. There is a day with makeup. There is a day without makeup.
Right. So I have to play dumb and act like I don't see the difference between the real her is not the makeup one.
See,
like you were trying to sell this video.
So,
I didn't know it. I'm not from the Lord family. I never hung out with her.
I'm not having any triggered response to any of this, just FYI. I'm not particularly invested, but clearly you both are, and I'm really enjoying this. You two should totally get back together. I actually, in the last couple of years, because to bring this all together,
yes.
I actually have struggled myself with the fact that I'm in a female body and feel like a guy. Like, I definitely feel very, like, male. I'm like a man. I feel like a man.
I feel like I have those
hormones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We just fist bumped. Did you hear that? Did you feel it in your soul?
I hope you know you're dating now.
That is so hot, what a guy would say, by the way. Did you feel that fist bump in your soul?
Yeah, I'm the sensitive type, but I still like to wrestle. Wait. So I've always, tomboy is kind of a catch-all sort of easy thing to say, but I appreciate there being people in the world who are like, I'm not going to transition. I feel like this. And I would prefer, because when I'm in groups, there's always a like, what's your problem? I prefer they, I prefer he or they, I prefer she or they. And there's a lot of that. And I'm like, just call me, just mix it up. Just fucking call me he, and then call me she, and then call me they. Yeah. Like, and people are like, oh, she's really funny. And I'm like, no, I'm serious.
But you know what? I've started thinking of that because I know that I have curves like crazy. And so the womanly aspect of me I didn't notice this until actually very recently. I look so female to people, but I am a lot of times louder than Keith. Like the association that you put on men, and Keith is, you know, 6'2". He filled out. He's
really?
You know,
6'2".
but confrontation, he doesn't want any of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're having issues and we have to call customer service or whatever, if we have to answer the door where someone's gonna negotiate or whatever. I'm the one who does it, which I think is associated with masculinity.
Totally.
But I feel like the closer you are to yourself, the more gender neutral you behave, because I think that we miscalculated what is actually male and what is female.
Totes.
And that, I think that's a big thing. And I think that's why people are like transition. So we know if you're an aggressive, or we know that you're dainty, or that people want to know what your personality is. And to them, long hair matches that. So if you have long flowy hair, I know a lot of people who have, let's say, blonde, blue eyes, super pretty, people mistake them for just kind of
passive,
you know, and just everything's sunshine. And they are just as, I don't know if the word is aggressive or outspoken or
dynamic.
Yes.
Ooh, yes. A neutral sounding word. Let's not judge. Yeah, there was an episode that blew my mind. I not because I was any good in it, but I interviewed someone named Dr. Lisa Wade, and it was on hookup culture. Like, I thought I was just going to learn about the history of dating, hookup culture. Like, no big deal. She blew my mind. People would be like, oh, I really like that episode. You know, people will kind of like reach out on social media and be like, people were like, oh my God, about this. Because she threw down all that stuff about internalized misogyny and basically feminine, instead of just hating men or hating women, it's like hating masculine characteristics or hating female feminine characteristics. And like, that was a whole layer. Yes. And we like really got into it and how that applies to hookup culture. And it was like, whoa, it was like a whole thesis in an hour. I was like, how did this happen? I don't know. But coming back to it, yes, it's really important that we become more fully ourselves, no matter where that is on the spectrum and the Venn diagramming of things. Coming back to what you were saying about the losing weight and the makeup thing and the tricked thing.
Yes.
I am super geeky. I'm actually going to be on The Dork Forest with Jackie
Cation.
Yeah, I'm always really terrible about her last name. She's wonderful because I'm going to talk about fashion and makeup because I am obsessed. Because from an early age, just the fact that you can change what you look like
it's art.
It totally is an art. And like, if I do my makeup, I look completely different than if I don't. Like, there's just, like, people are like thrown off, like they just don't understand what just happened to my face. Like, right. So much you can do and transform yourself.
Like a Meg Ryan before she fucked her face up.
Well, that was like a lot of plastic surgery happened there. Right. There's a lot went on. I mean, if you're making fun of Angelina Jolie, where I'm like, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. I want to get to Meg Ryan for sure.
Okay. Right.
I have six more, just so everybody knows.
Okay. Do people ever really love, I mean, of course they love seeing you in person, but if you do a live show, are they like, I didn't know you did so much with your face. Like, I love seeing you in person and seeing the other side of the podcast. Like, do people like have that feeling?
They mention what we look like. I normally don't wear makeup, even a lot of times on stage, because I don't think I look better with makeup. Mm-hmm. If I could do my makeup better, and it wouldn't, to me, me doing my makeup, or I just feel caked on. I enjoy other people doing makeup and seeing the change, and I would like to maybe be able to do that, but it's too heavy for me.
Okay. I mean,
I'm not saying I'll never wear makeup. Of course, I have it. But I don't always know what to do with it.
Oh, no, it's okay. I had an obsession with makeup from... I just was obsessed. Like, I wouldn't wear it ever. But, like, alone in my room, I'd put it on. Yes, and then right where you'd be like, oh, that's what I look like that.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, of course. We all do that. Of course.
Hey.
You're alone.
Yeah. Guys look so good in eyeliner. Why isn't that a thing yet? Oh, my God. They look so... good.
But remember in the 80s, the bands that Keith, you listen to a lot, like Poison and
Warrant.
Yeah, they wore full drag makeup and they were considered like manly men.
Yeah.
Like, somehow that faded wasn't judged in the 80s when it was pretty judgy then, you know, with like who's male and who's female. But there was this moment in time and then it just sort of disappeared.
I think it came from LA and, is definitely a glam scene, and then the rest, then the albums go out, and the rest of the world is like, I guess this is, or the rest of America is this is the way it is now, I guess, and we don't get it, but now we do. Okay,
yeah. And Dude Bros went to the concert, and we're like, yeah, right. Your pink lipstick is so glossy and awesome,
right?
Yeah,
but we didn't dress like that. Like, I didn't put on, you know, unless you're like, I mean, this is a little removed from, let's say, the New York Dolls, but the audience of guys didn't come there with lipstick and blush.
Okay, so, because I didn't go to those concerts, so people in the audience, like, no one was wearing eyeliner and lipstick.
Right.
They looked like Keith.
The women were dressed, you know, to the nines, meaning the zeros clothes.
Stretch pants and boots.
Or skirts where you're seeing the bottom of the ass, you know, and you're a kid like, whoa, concerts are the best.
It's pretty awesome, though, like the hyper-masculinity and femininity going on.
Yeah.
Like, in the they're embodying
yeah.
like so much. And it's why aren't they doing that now? I love eyeliner. I'm just coming back to my thesis statement. I love eyeliner.
I was going to say, because all the bands, they either killed themselves or no one cares anymore. But I try to keep it going. And Tesla's new album is very good.
You know why? Okay. I think eyeliner isn't picking up. I can't do it because you're poking yourself in the eye. It's fucking scary.
It's scary.
I give women a huge pat on, or men, a lot of men are wearing it. But if you're putting eyeliner and I watch people do it like it's nothing, I can't. It's right in your eye.
It's not like you're, I don't know, because someone will be driving a car and I'm doing my eyeliner while the car is moving and they're afraid I'm going to poke my eye.
Yeah.
They don't understand like how loose my wrist is. Like there's, like I'm not for, like I'm not forceful with my eyeliner. It's just, and you like short strokes. It's like you just slowly.
I freak out. Lauren has done my makeup and was the first person to be able to put eyeliner on me. And this is the way we do it. I'm not kidding. I have to look up and he counts backwards from 10 so that I know that it's going to end soon. And then we take a break and I breathe. Whoa. And then we come back in. It's poking your eye.
It is weird.
It's crazy.
I wear the football, you know, line under my eyes, but that's because that doesn't scare me.
Interesting. Yeah. So interesting. It feels weird. It feels weird when somebody else is doing it. Also, if you try and line the... This is not important for this podcast. This is like just start a makeup and hair podcast or something. There's the waterline. There's the part like where the lashes are, and then just below that where it's like actually really moist. That it feels like they're trying to like eyeline your liver or something. Like it's someplace that you're not supposed to go.
Oh my god! Even as you're talking about it, it's just so anxiety ridden.
Yeah, it's not okay. Whoa. I understand.
Whoa! It looks fabulous, but I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll come in at like a. Oh, not even a 45-degree, like we're talking a 60-degree angle. And like I'll try not, yeah, so like the pencil's all the way up here and I'm just like
to hit the pink.
Yeah, it's just like sneaking, it's like
you're sneaking up on your
face. It's like when in movies when they jump off the roof with a rope to like break into the office or wherever and they come in from the top. That's what I'm doing with my eyeliner. I just like I can't see it coming.
And then when she finishes, she goes, "Got me."
I don't know what that's a reference to, but I'm enjoying it.
Just like, you know, you sneak in, that's like the SWAT team, and then you're like, gotcha. And you're like, boom, got me. Better look next time, me.
Finger guns.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a guy.
But am I a guy? Or do I just misread masculine characteristics of who I am and then think that I must be a guy because I don't fall into traditional female
That's structures. Yeah.
I would like you to know, and I'm not just saying this to kiss your ass. I don't know what the fuck you are.
Whoa.
Huh?
Whoa.
Easy, I'm married.
I like it.
I wonder because when we were talking at first, when Lauren and I learned what trans is, and it really had a sense of relief on him because he never felt like a lesbian, and it was just this new information that made him feel a little more seen,
himself. Never felt like a lesbian. Like,
yeah. But he would live in the lesbian world because they were accepting and it's, you know, female sex to female sex. So it made sense for a second. But once you put the actual word to it, it's a little more comforting. But I was like, well, you know, is it like me where I'm just, you know, I don't want people to just, you know, when people go, all right, sweetheart, you could feel them looking at you like you're a girl.
Yeah. It's the relational aspect.
Yeah.
I will say
that's different.
I will totally self-disclose here. If I strap it on with a woman, well, you said so much in that sound. So much happened right then. Just in that, play it back if you missed it.
You can't miss it.
But I turn
it's so intrusive.
I am a totally different person if I strap on. Like, and my body changes where if they want to like grab my boobs, I'm like, no. Like, I'm like, hey, hey, hey. Like, they're just, it's like a no-fly zone. Like, do not touch those. And it's like everything just... mannerism changes, like focus. I can't say that I totally understand like guy sexuality, because that would be a big jump to say, but
do you understand it as a male, or you just understand it because you have a good sense of human beings
relating to a woman, not as another woman but as a man? Like, I know what that feels like. It's a very different feeling than to women having sex. Like, I just know the difference, and it's a huge difference. So I don't know, but I don't know if that applies to anybody else but me, but it's just...
Well, to me, it triggers, like, if I'm more dominant in this one sexual session, you know, that we have, then I know what it's like to be a dom. And then if we reverse roles, I will play that role 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think sex is more elevated that way. You're really doing the thing, and so you can get more into it. You're playing the role, and it's going straight to the genitalia, and, mm-hmm. and that's why you're playing that role. So I don't know. And I don't want to say you have to put yourself in a box. Are you male or female, or you just understand it? But it doesn't matter. I'm hoping it won't matter a lot. But for trans people, I think hearing this conversation, it's like, wait, can you please separate that from what I'm saying? I'm totally. Saying I am male, and it is important to me. Mm-hmm. What we're saying is it's not important, but I think we have the luxury of saying that. I think we have the luxury of saying, like, hey, I can strap on or whatever. It's not a strap on when mm-hmm. when you're trans male. It's not this fun thing that you're trying on for a day or you're feeling for that moment. It's constant. And if you are strapping on, it also takes an emotional breath that you mm-hmm. have to take, because that's just, it's sort of putting a glove on what you, 'cause Lauren has a ghost penis, mm-hmm. for lack of better words. So it's not that, we need this other thing. And it's almost like, no, it's not a strap on. This is my dick, no matter what that dick is when you're transgender. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, a strap-on for some transgender people, or just, you know, you can have sex with a ghost penis and I don't know how to explain it, and mm-hmm. you can feel it. You can feel that person in you. So I feel like that's the difference between maybe some people playing that role and other people who constantly have to play the role of a female when they really are a male.
Yeah.
Because people are just responding to them that way. At the same time, Lauren has a female experience because he was raised female, so he's never going to make fun of my period. And he understands.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Some guy.
And he understands what I'm going through. He understands how people look at me on the street, how they behave at me, not with me, but at me, what people see. And then the people that we know that transition also confirm it. Like, I was looked at this way when I walked down, you know, appearing or passing as male, or passing as female rather. And then when I transitioned, people actually treated me differently. Mm. So you get that sense of understanding, which is kind of what's nice about dating somebody who's trans. Mm. They know both, kind of.
No, oh, there's compassion there. There's compassion. Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate that, you know, because it's
was
good.
It clear? I don't mean to, you know, I don't want to put someone like, you're not this, but
no,
just...
I mean, I was just sort of like going, like, I get relating in a different mm-hmm. way for people to be like, let's just do chicks together. It's like, nah, it's not, that's not a thing. No, like, right. It's different. And so I was just relating to that, but like, that's really remarkable and important for you to like make that space. So thank you for that.
Yeah, only because I know it, I know it stings a little bit when... Because a lot of people start talking like that around Lauren. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like a guy a lot too. And it's like, dude, I feel like a guy all the time. I am a guy. This is the difference. And people are not respecting it. They are treating it like I'm putting on something when I do mm-hmm. this. Or when they think of my genitalia, I'm making this up. Or having the feeling for a moment. This is life constantly. And mm-hmm. You're constantly getting looked at. You're not getting seen so much.
Yeah, it's so yeah. stressful.
Yeah, and that's what are we doing in life constantly? We're constantly telling people how we feel and why we do things, and you know, we're having lunch and describing our emotions and our relationships with our parents to be seen, mm-hmm. to be emotionally connected with this other person, so that once you connect that emotion, you're more taken care of by this other person. These people are constantly not being seen mm-hmm. and constantly being, you know, talk to like they're crazy mm-hmm. or they're misunderstanding themselves, and you're constantly having to express yourself calmly, you know. And same thing when we walk down the street as a same-sex couple, people have so much to say, you mm-hmm. know. Let's get in. Can I get in the middle of that? No. Would you say that if I was walking with, you know, with someone who was taller than me and maybe had less, you know, whatever it is? You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say that.
When we dated, nobody said that to us. When we were walking together.
Not even once. Come on.
Not even once.
They didn't want you. Like,
you're an angel. But no. But no.
Aw. Yeah. Do you feel seen, Keith?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like
Ask me again.
Do you feel seen?
Yeah,
Keith?
What? Okay, whoa. I blew that one. Ask me one more time.
Keith.
Yes.
Do you feel seen?
Thank you.
Now he does. I mean, I don't know. There's just
Sandra Bullock is another one. She's fucking with her face too much. I don't like it.
You get looked at funny because
wow,
yeah,
you're committed to this. You're like committed. It's like we need to balance it out. We need to get, you know, let's get superficial. Let's do this. Let's finish this off. We know we've been recording for about 50 minutes or so. Like, let's just really finish off strong. Let's talk about celebrity plastic surgery. What about Sandra Bullock? What'd she do? What did she do to you?
She's fucking with those cheeks that God gave her.
He's an atheist.
Thank you for that.
There can't be a God if all these people are fucking with their beautiful faces. There's just something with these celebrities that got such a leg up in life with the way they looked, and why are they fucking with it? I know it's because the people around them, you know, especially here where, you know, in Hollywood, the people around them are getting it done. But can't you look at those people and go, well, you really fucked it up? But meanwhile, they're like, one of us. It's like, okay, I'll do it to fit in at the parties. Like, no, you don't have to do what they felt they had to do.
But I feel like, you know, especially as a celebrity, because you're constantly being photographed and putting out there, mm-hmm. and then everyone has something to say about your appearance rather than your work and blah, blah, blah. And you really are represented that way. And you've been represented that way. And a lot of times it's done very well for you. It's one of the main reasons why you have the money that you have and the success that you have. So how scary is it when you start seeing lines on your face, people start putting you down, your work decreases.
But they do it before that. These people I'm mentioning are all young in the scheme of things.
It's fear based.
Yeah, but wait until we say you're old. Don't guess you're getting old. Wait until I tell you.
They're playing grandmas at the age of 35. You know, they're.
What? Is that a real thing?
No, I'm making.
Oh, okay. I got really concerned for a second. I was like, Hollywood needs to really look at itself in the mirror. Non judgmentally. Okay, so, I mean, yes, fear-based for sure. I mean, I'm sure each celebrity does it for a different reason. But yeah, work-wise.
What else would it be other than fear-based? It's not like you...
Logistically, you want to keep looking young because there's this obsession. I have noticed.
But why can't they see that we don't have the technology to do that necessarily?
Because it's better than having wrinkles.
It's not.
It really is. But it's not. Of course it's not, but it's...
They look like a table.
When you weigh your options and your agent is telling you... You aged out of the system in one way or another, and people are surrounded by, you know, they're just kind of, they're actually treating you differently.
But I want to be clear that this isn't happening to the people I'm talking about. This never happened to Meg Ryan.
From your perspective,
she ruined herself.
Yes. From her perspective, she's freaking out.
Yeah.
With another number one movie, and everybody obviously loves you.
I must acknowledge the limit to your perspective. As a guy
who's not looking at me. He's not looking at me.
Because I mean, it's smarter to start earlier. I mean, it's smarter. I mean, don't wait till you're 50 to put on wrinkle cream. I mean, just to take, you need it, because you will show the wear and tear of your life pretty quick when you start degenerating. That's a terrible word. When you start aging.
I mean,
it all kind of, there's this joke about Asian women, you know, they'll look exactly the same and then they hit 60 and everything just falls. I'm half Filipino. I know what's happening, going to happen.
What side of your face do you think that'll be?
My right side. Definitely my right side. Oh, God, so much is happening over there. But I don't know. It is sad because I think, like so many things, plastic surgery is not a science. It's more of an art. And if you get the wrong person,
it's a lot of bad artists.
Yeah, and in your face, it kind of doesn't take to something. It's just, it's too bad. And also, some people just don't age well. I mean, what's his face? He was in the movie Secretary, and I totally had a big boner for him.
Not James Spader.
James Spader, right?
James Spader.
He's all over in billboards right now, Blacklist.
Yeah.
And he just has aged a lot in the last 10
years. But I think that's bad living, too. He happens to be I don't have like a fat complex, but he happens, you know, but he happens to be very fat, too, where he was thin then. It really sounds like he's doing damage to his body as well, not just getting older.
Interesting that you're
go on. This giving, is always good when somebody says interesting.
You're giving more compassion and more space to James Spader's.
Actually, I'm giving less. I'm giving less. He could have, or the same. He could have taken care of himself. That's his fault that he looks fucked up now.
But then Sandra Bullock.
And that's her fault that she thinks that she has to fix her face.
So it's all plastic surgery. No other changes happened to their face or to their lifestyle at all. Whereas James Spader was mainly that he like drank too much and should have gone to the gym.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same.
You don't see plastic surgery happening on his face? Because they're to me, it seems very plastic surgery.
It could be. I can't tell. I just see two. I look at him, I see a snowman. So it's hard to like tell. Usually fat people, you don't think plastic surgery. And his face is definitely full. It's a bowling ball.
There's a lot of airbrushing on those posters, so I can't really tell.
They put a lot of air on them.
But you know what? That's a fear of mine that, you know, I try not to put any filters on my pictures because I want to show my age so it's not all of a sudden I show up and it's not me anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think it's such a, for people on stage and on a platform, when you meet people in person, it's kind of like constantly going on a first date. So they have all these pictures of you and all these images, mm-hmm. and those can have filters and those could, you know, be airbrushed and whatever. And then they meet you. I fear that I will age out, you know, because people want somebody young to tell them their jokes or whatever it is that people feel. But I refuse. I refuse. And I want to let people see my age and still exercise and still try to keep... I don't want to fall apart, like he said, on purpose, like I did that to me. I'm just mm-hmm. going to do my best, and then hopefully I can accept the changes that have to come.
Age gracefully.
Yeah.
Yes. See, that's all I'm saying.
Oh.
I'm sounding like I'm saying, you know, people don't get to choose with me and do what they want to. I get it. I'm saying don't get the plastic surgery, but what I'm saying is actually more beautiful. I'm saying just be yourself. You're going to be just fine. Stop with the fucking cat faces. We promise we'll all still watch TV.
But you're saying that, but when you do see an actor or actress who you haven't seen in like 10, 20 years, and then they suddenly show up for a new project, so they're all over the place, and they can't hide 10 or 20 years necessarily of age, and they didn't do that, you will respond like, life is to him, right?
I don't think so. I have something to say.
If
they were born so pretty,
they
didn't age the worst.
I pay a lot of attention to how we have trained ourselves to see things. Like, for instance, in some cultures where female circumcision is a thing.
Right. I am opposed. Right? Unless they want to, and then that's their right.
The sight of natural female genitalia is like really gross to guys because it's not something that they've seen. Just like genital hair on women in this culture, men are like, blah, a lot of times because it's just they don't see it in a lot of porn, although that is changing a little bit and there's some embracing, but it's just a thing. It's like what we're used to seeing. So if we're training our eyes to only see youthful faces, anytime we see somebody aged in a movie or whatever, one, there's no sexualizing of them. We make fun of them. Like it's shameful to be older.
And if they are sexualized, it's just like, ooh, old people having sex,
yeah,
alert,
gross, alert. And I am noticing that more actresses are so very glamorous and in magazines and being like, oh, she's so lovely, and they're in their 30s and 40s and like we're starting to see a change where women are starting to get the same respect that male actors have gotten as they've aged through the system. So I feel like it's changing because I'm starting to notice the wrinkles and they're there, right. And they're looking great and I'm like excited about it. But it's really, we just need to retrain our eyes, really. Cause like, I'll talk to, like, friends about, like, makeup techniques. And cause I've been, like, I'm so geeky about, like, angles and things. And just, like, the art of the three dimensional and, like, contour. Like, I'm just really,
We need to talk. Maybe I can look better with makeup.
it's fascinating because I hate looking like I have makeup. I feel like I'm in drag. Right. But I also understand that when you're being looked at through a technological filter, like a video camera, that's something you say in the 80s, and light. It changes your. It's like microphones. You need an audio person to take what you're being recorded and reprocess it so that it starts sounding like you again. Because the technology changes, and then you have like the fact that anything created, like a music video, is an art form where you have like 30,000 people getting together to create it. And so Kelly Clarkson herself is just like the poor person in the middle who has to have everyone poking them. You know, so it's like. The art form is collaborative. It's not just one person showing up and there's a camera. Like it's complicated. It's complicated, man. It's real complicated. All I'm saying is I really like bronzer. That's all I'm saying is bronzer's my friend now. Oh, you guys are really putting, it's like a workout. I really appreciate appreciate that you came out today. I'm so glad that you reached out and we got to hang out. Where can folks find you in the world? Because I know that you write books and there's comedy albums and there's like other radio things. And like, tell me all the things.
It's keithandthegirl.com. We're on iTunes for free, Keith and the Girl. And pretty much any social media, anything that you could look up, you could just Google us. And so if you want books, just write Keith and the Girl books or Keith and the Girl CDs, or but it's all on keithandthegirl.com. But we would love it if people would give our show a chance on iTunes. And if you do give it a chance, please listen to 2 to 3 episodes, because I feel like there's a rhythm that maybe people are used to with some podcasts, and mm-hmm. ours is a little bit different. So mm-hmm. before you judge Keith for all these crazy outlandish things, he does have a point. A lot.
Thank you.
And it's very, very funny.
I like this Keith. Yeah.
I like this Keith.
Thank you.
I mean, it goes without saying, I like you too, Keith.
All right. Mine's an obvious Keith.
Right. I'm fine with that. I like being told. This was a pleasure. You are wonderful.
Thank you.
Go Team Fun.
Go Team Fun. You know the thing.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.